one who is protector and sustainer. And we thank him for life and for security this morning. What do we read about man? Well, we see in Ecclesiastes words of a very different nature when speaking of man. There we read that man from generation to generation comes and goes. Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Why is that? Because the Lord has established all creation. He upholds it with his powerful hand. Psalm 103, verses 15 and 16, we read there, "As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more." We come onto the scene, we pass from the scene, but God remains and God endures. Life may seem transient to us, but we know that God has a plan for an eternal existence for us. He establishes relationship with us that he would keep us forever. The next verses there in Psalm 103 read, "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts." In 2 Samuel 7, we read, "The Lord has a people for himself, and he will keep them forever, a people he frees from sin, that we might worship him and give him thanks." All that we were created for. The Lord says, "I have created you for my glory, that you would give me thanks." And we are pointing the world then in our practice of worship, in our gatherings today, we're pointing them to the fact that we are to give thanks and praise to our Creator. The earth endures. God has promised to keep it. We see how he judged wickedness with the flood so many millennia ago. And yet he did so as the waters receded, a new age began. There is coming a day when judgment will fall, final judgment, and there we will see God ushering in eternity, establishing those things which cannot be shaken, as we read in Hebrews chapter 12. The earth is indeed headed for a cataclysmic end, and that is where man gets his sense of foreboding, his sense of anxiety about the future. But in this, the Lord promises that he will rescue all creation and his crown of creation, even we ourselves, from that terrible end. The groans of earth will give way to birth, rebirth, and our groans, as we groan to see what we will receive as those who are adopted, as his children, will make way for that new life. The mortal will put on immortality, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. In the end, God will rescue his people. He is faithful to keep his creation and his people. Psalm 119, verse 90 says this, "Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth, and it endures." He is the one who established the earth and keeps his people. Passage after passage we could turn to, looking at how God has sustained the earth, what he has done. If you want to read a powerful portion of Scripture on that, look at Job 38 and 39 today, or in the days ahead, as the Lord talks about how he has shut the sea behind doors, how he causes the sun to appear and to set, the stars, giving them each a name, how he has set the constellations in their place, the one who knows where the animals reside, where they give birth, how they continue to flourish on the earth. He is the one who's done all this. This morning, I wanted to just think for a few moments on some of those wonderful truths about the world and consider the greatness of our God, his majesty. He reigns. He's robed in majesty. Think about this with me as we think about the world and think about the power of God in upholding the world. Earth is spinning on its axis at a speed of 1,000 miles per hour. Every 24 hours, the earth does a complete rotation. Earth hurtles through space at an average speed of over 67,000 miles per hour. That's not just faster than a speeding bullet, that's 87 times faster than the speed of sound. And God is the one who upholds it. God is the one we thank for upholding the world. The Earth is in the Milky Way galaxy, which is spinning like a giant galactic pinwheel at the rate of 483,000 miles per hour. Here we are hurtling through space, and God is upholding us and keeping us. The immensity of the universe is mind-boggling. The best estimates of astronomers is that there are 100 billion galaxies in the observable universe. What can we do but thank the Lord who keeps the Earth in orbit and protects us on this planet, even as we move through space? And God is not only in control of the larger world, He's in control of we ourselves, our bodies. He's created and upholds us. Psalm 139 says this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Some facts about the human body, which is testament to the true wonder that God has made and that He controls. Humans take an average of 23,000 breaths per day. That's a pretty large number. It takes 16 minutes just to count to 1,000 if you take a number a second. Don't do that right now. Do that later today if you have 16 minutes to spare. Lungs inhale over 2 million liters of air every day. That's 531,914 gallons of air every day. And God sees to it that this happens. The surface area of your lungs is the size of a tennis court. We thank the Lord for giving us breath. The heart beats about 100,000 times a day, 40 million times a year. Our bodies have about 5.6 liters or 1.5 gallons of blood in them. The blood circulates through the body 3 times every minute. The length of the circulatory system stretches 60,000 miles, more than twice the distance around the earth. In one day, blood travels 12,000 miles, 4 times the distance across the United States. The heart beats about 3 billion times in a lifetime. When we think of the marvelous creation of our bodies, we give thanks that God upholds this complexity and this beautiful symmetry. The average adult is made up of 100 trillion cells. And we hear the word trillion today, which was in my younger days incomprehensible. Today we talk about it in relation to national debt, but it's a big number. It's an impossible number to really get our heads around. For those of you who are into sports, a professional athlete who earns, if one is to earn $45 million a year, they'd have to play, he or she would have to play his or her sport for over 21,000 years to make $1 trillion, let alone $100 trillion. Average lifespan is 2.4 billion seconds. That seems like a rather large number. 1 billion seconds ago, how long ago was 1 billion seconds ago? Probably in the 1980s. My stats are a little old. It was, when I last used these stats, 1979, probably in the early 80s. What about 1 trillion seconds ago? How far is that from the 1 billion? 29,700 BC. We're talking trillions. Brothers and sisters, trillions, and God holds up our body made of 100 trillion cells. 50 million cells died in your body in the time it took me to tell you that. 50 million more were made in your body through God's active hand. This is the God we serve. This is the God to whom we give thanks and praise today, the one who upholds our bodies. The one who upholds all of creation, even as our planet, the earth upon which we live, hurtles through space. We thank God for His care and His control over us, over the universe in which He has placed us. We want to sing about that. Number 551, as we relate that to harvest, we didn't even talk about that, how God creates the seed, or causes the seed to bear, to come alive as it dies in the ground, to come to fruition and to bear seed so that it can be completed once again. But we see that here, and we also see that God works in our hearts. We thank you then, O Father, for all things bright and good, the seed time and the harvest, our life, our health, our food. No gifts have we to offer, for all your love imparts, but that which you desire now, we offer our humble and thankful hearts. That's what we're doing now as we sing. Let's sing these three stanzas, number 551. Let's offer a prayer to our God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we confess that we spend far too little time reflecting on your loving care toward us, your awesome power to uphold the universe, to keep the earth spinning, to bring about seasons. We find reasons, oh Lord, to complain when things don't go the way we want them to, but we do not consistently thank you for all that you do to hold all things together. When we hear the immensity of creation, the complexity of our bodies, we're humbled by what it teaches about you, what it teaches about us. You are over all of this, in control of all of this, and we are those that pass away. When we see the earth groan, when our bodies suffer the effects of sin, Father, draw us to yourself. Remind us that in you there is a place of perfect peace, a place that you are preparing for us, and give our hearts reason, or give our hearts the ability to give thanks. Lord, we can rest in you, for we know that you work all things for the good of those who love you. We can give thanks for your wondrous ways. We praise you, O God, our Redeemer, Creator, in grateful devotion, our worship we bring. We're created to do so. And this morning we lift up our voices in praise and thanksgiving to you for your all-wise, all-powerful, lovingly personal, never-failing control over this world and over us. We thank you for rescuing us from sin's curse and power. Receive our praise and thanksgiving through your glorified Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I want to look with you now, or read with you now, the words that Paul writes in the opening of his letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14, where we speak of God's saving grace, his wonderful grace. And at the end of that reading, I'm going to ask you for reasons for thanksgiving that we can share together and offer to the Lord. The Word of God there in Ephesians 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. I'm going to take a few moments this morning to take down some of the expressions of thanksgiving that perhaps you have this morning. If you want to share those, I'll take those down and then we'll bring those to the Lord in prayer. Yes. Giving thanks for covenantal promises, for generational blessings that God has shown in families. Certainly we can give thanks for that and pray that that would continue, that God would be praised from generation to generation. Who else? Yes.
We look at the world as it revolves and spins and constantly changes, gives us different seasons. I'm thankful that we have a God that doesn't change, doesn't keep moving the mark. He lays it right out for us and then gives us the way that we can succeed.
We do see changes in the world, seasons changing and so many things changing, and yet God doesn't change. He is one who is unchanging and faithful and showing himself to be a good God and a God who is not moving the mark, but keeping it right before us so that we're not confused about what it is he calls us to, that is to faith in Jesus Christ. Who else? Yes. The blessings of pastor and family and the opportunity to be together as congregation to hear God's word and to be fed by it. Yes.
We are thankful that you are a pastor and you were involved here. Did I get something? Oh, I need to go see
a repeat on what was just said. But thank you for that. Yes. Thankful for faithful officers, elders and deacons, and that too, seeing that, seeing those grown up within this congregation, the Lord bringing them to us, leading us well. What a blessing that is. As we look through Scripture, we see that too, how God blesses his people with faithful leaders. Yes?
Attended the baptism of our 50th great-grandchild.
Okay. 50th great-grandchild. Big numbers we were talking about this morning. That's a big one too. Yeah, a lot to pray for. That's right. They attended baptism of their 50th great-grandchild. Yes?
Competitions with them, we have 46.
46, okay. Well, we don't want to, we're not in competition here. But anyway, we're thankful for all those blessings. Yes? Very good, yes. Thankful for Christian schools for being able to raise children according to our understanding of Scripture and for the opportunity to be present, right, to be gathered together. So thankful for that. Yes. Thankful for young families. And dare I add, seasoned Christians who give good guidance. Can I add that? Terry. Okay. Freedom in this country, thanks for the opportunity that God provides through that freedom that we can gather, and for those that God brings into our lives, the people that we can serve and love, and those that we can show the love of Christ to, not always understanding the timing and the placement, but knowing that God has a purpose in all of it. So we give thanks for that. Yes. Very thankful for the volunteers, the teachers, the building itself, all that we have here that God has blessed us with, that we can gather, and that we have those to fill positions so that our Covenant youth can be taught, and also all the other aspects of the church life that encourage the fellowship of the saints here. Thankful for all the volunteers that help with that. I'm sure there's more, but we will end there, and I'll encourage you to bring up more as you come in your gatherings together today. But let's go to the Lord and ask His ask for His blessing, but also give thanks for His many blessings to us this morning. Let's pray. Your Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for all of the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, that we have been blessed with every blessing in heavenly places, being seated with Him already now by faith, and seeing a glimpse, tasting a bit of that, tasting a bit of heaven as we gather here this morning, thankful for this building, for this place, thankful for the freedom that we have to gather, thankful for the families that make up this church, the young families and the children and their energy and vitality, and the older members as well who give direction and share wisdom. Lord, we thank you for all the people that come through these doors to visit, and we pray that we would welcome them, for those that come through the doors of our lives, as it were, and that we would have opportunity to serve them and to show them the love of Christ. Lord, we thank you for your covenant mercies shown to us and to our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, many great-grandchildren. Lord, what a blessing to know that you are faithful to your promises. As we see things change, as we see seasons change, and as we see society's societal norms change, we're so thankful that you do not change, that you make very clear to us your word and your way. We pray that you would keep us in faithfulness. We're so thankful for your Holy Spirit, for your Spirit who speaks to us through the word, guiding us, helping us when in trouble, giving us the ability to express thanksgiving and praise in times of joy and blessing. Thank you for leaders who are committed to the word, for raising up leaders in our midst, and we pray that you would continue to do that in faithfulness from generation to generation. Lord, we would hear the word too from the pulpit, that we would be encouraged to walk in the truth and to see the blessings in doing so, and to see above all the purpose for which we were made, and that is to bring honor and glory to you. Father, we thank you for this place, for this building in which to meet. We pray, Lord, that as we use it, we would use it in its fullest potential, not simply as a place to stay dry, but as a place to do ministry, to open it up to various opportunities to serve and to use it in Bible studies and to teach our young people, to use it for coat drives and for food pantry storage and all of the rest. Lord, we thank you for those who volunteer in these ministries, for the teachers who give time to putting their lessons together and instructing young people. We pray, Lord, that all of that effort would be done in keeping with faith, that we would know that as we set truth before one another, that we are doing what we are commanded to do, and then that may we trust that you would be creating faith through that extension of truth. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to gather, the abundance that we have that we can share with family and friends today. Bless us as we gather together in that great community, perhaps not all gathered in one place, but wherever we are gathered, may our hearts give thanks and give praise to you for your many blessings. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing number 111B, number 111B, O Give the Lord Wholehearted Praise. As we've lifted our voices in song, we want to do so, or in prayer, we want to do so in song. We're going to sing stanzas 1, 3, and 6, 1, 3, and 6 of number 111B. Thank you. We acknowledge God's goodness at all times and in every ways, including in suffering. The Lord came to us in the flesh to show his great love for us, drawing near to us, recognizing that we would have trouble in the world. Our Lord Jesus said, "You will have trouble in this world, but take heart, I've overcome the world." God has come to us. As we draw near to him, we find comfort in times of suffering and distress. The psalmist speaks in distressed tones there in Psalm 42, where he is, it appears, separate from the house of God, which reminds us once again, doesn't it, that how good it is to be together. But in this, we remember that God is near to us. Let me read Psalm 42 for us. "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. Well, they say to me continually, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. At the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, 'Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." It is so helpful for us to remember that there are those who are in turmoil, those who are not able to be a part of the family of God as they would like, and to remember that we have opportunity to go to them and minister to them, to care for them, to encourage them, and to remind them that they will yet praise God, that as they trust in him, as they are found in Jesus Christ, they will be brought to that place of their final rest, their place, along with all the saints, as we one day will be there with them to give thanks and praise to God. God is not distant. He is near to all those who call on him, to all those who call on him in truth. We want to do that now. Let us offer up a prayer to the Lord. Lord, at times our circumstances overwhelm us. We feel alone and distant, and it is a reminder to us that there are others who are not able to worship with us, shut-ins, those who are weak in their bodies or minds. We thank you for this reminder of the importance of being gathered together and of the importance of praying that our brothers and sisters in need and suffering, and we ourselves at times of suffering can look to you, our hope, our salvation. You are the one in whom we can put our hope, in whom we are never disappointed. You don't take vacation. You never cease to love. You give in perfect measure to our need, for you understand our needs better than we ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us that we are to bear the burdens of others. Give us sensitive hearts for those who are hurting and grieving. Give us words to speak to those who need a word of comfort. We thank you for comforting us, that we in turn might comfort others from the comfort that we ourselves receive from you. Be near to those who feel as though waves of grief and despair have swept over them. Remind them that you are the one who comes in times of storm and says to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." In the stillness that you provide, may we hear your gentle and powerful voice. Lord, we thank you for speaking into our lives at all times, including in those times of suffering, knowing that you work all things for the good of those who love you. Receive our thanks in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing number 69B, "Thy Loving Kindness, Lord, is Good and Free." 69B, as we reflect upon God's goodness to us, We're going to sing, stanzas 1 and, well, we'll sing all the stanzas. Let's sing the 4 stanzas, 69b. We consider the gracious gifts of our God, His generous grace to us. I want to read from Acts chapter 2, reminding us of the generosity that we as God's people are to have as we reflect upon God's generosity to us. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We give thanks to God for His generous love, and we want to demonstrate that thankfulness now as we receive the morning offering and ask the deacons to come forward at this time. Let's pray. Your Father in heaven, we thank you for your generous grace, your grace and your mercy to us. This morning, as we consider how you have blessed us so richly, as we do that each and every day, may we be generous in our giving to the cause of benevolence to the needs of others. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. For our last scripture reading this morning, we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 7. Just a few thoughts this morning, not going to be long, but a few points to make as we consider Revelation chapter 7, the verses 9 through 17. There we find that thanksgiving is an activity that is not something just for now, but it is an activity that God is preparing us for eternity. John has recorded the revelation for us that he received, and here in Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 9, we read this record that he has recorded. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of God. Dear congregation, the practice of thanksgiving is a practice that we speak of as having a place in history, but really it's long before 1620 or 1621, determining on your dates in the first pilgrims. It goes back to the very beginning. It is certainly an activity that we are to carry out here and now. When is the time for thanksgiving? It is a time that it is that time even now. As you gather together today, what will you be doing? What will people be doing as they gather together? Well, it all depends on how they view the day. Perhaps it's a day for sports. Perhaps it's a day for food. Perhaps it's a day for shopping online and all of these other things. But the scripture tells us that thanksgiving has a God in mind. We are to be thanking him. And it's not simply an act that was done once upon a time in the past, but it is something that is to be done now. Notice what it says there in these verses. What are the hosts of heaven doing? Even now the angels are standing, verse 11, around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, falling on their faces and worshiping God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." They're giving thanks to God, thanksgiving to him. It is the work of the creation. It is the calling of all creation to give thanks to God for all that we've heard this morning of how he upholds the creation, for all that we have heard of how he upholds us. We, along with that heavenly chord, are offering praise to God. The word is Eucharistia. It's the word that Jesus used when breaking the bread and giving thanks to God, his Father. It was his custom to give thanks, and it did not go unnoticed. The writers of the Scriptures, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, noted Jesus' custom of giving thanks. The Savior points us to that call and that command to give thanks, and to do so over and over. Paul, who had lived for himself in his early years and for his own stature, when filled with the Holy Spirit, learned to give thanks. He was constantly giving thanks for God's goodness to the churches. Peter was doing the same. John was doing the same. And we see this attitude, this expression in God's people, an expression of thanksgiving. And we see that the focus of thanksgiving this morning is not on the food. It's not on sports. It's not on shopping. It's upon the Lord. As John captures a vision of what is to come, we see that it is a lifetime, an eternity of giving thanks to God. People say, I'm a Christian, I know the Lord, and we say, well, do you give thanks? And they say, well, yeah, here and there. Well, heaven is a place of continual thanksgiving. And this morning we're reminded that the thanksgiving that we bring is unto the Lord, the one who has delivered, the one who has brought us out of darkness into light, the one who promises that we will come and there will be no more hunger when we arrive there, no more thirst, no more tears, for he will wipe all the tears from our eyes. That's the focus of our thanksgiving. That word Eucharistia is the word that often is associated with Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. When Jesus broke the bread at the institution of the Lord's Supper, he gave thanks and blessed it, giving thanks to the Father for the plan of salvation. This morning we do the same. We give thanks to the Father, the giving of his Son for our redemption. There are so many things that we have to be thankful for, as we've noted today. We save our greatest expression for the gift of reconciliation with God, our Creator, the one who is sustainer, the one who keeps us. We could look at many examples of thanksgiving throughout the Scriptures. The thanksgiving of Noah after the flood, giving thanks to God for bringing them through that judgment. Abraham giving thanks when his son was not sacrificed, but God provided a ram. We could think of Paul thanking the Lord for not holding his sins against him, but considering him faithful, that he would be a servant. So we see there's a time for thanksgiving. It's now and it's future. We see that there is a focus of thanksgiving, and we see that there is a secure future for thanksgiving, for it is there in glory, sustained forever and ever. God's plan of redemption will certainly be accomplished. Indeed, it has been accomplished in Christ. And we are awaiting the day when we'll see its consummation. There are days on earth when it is hard to be thankful, to be sure. We grow weary. The clouds of life seem to be dark. We have hymns that say it. The clouds that you so much dread will break with blessing on your head. We remember that even these difficulties, God turns for our good. God promises that he will not give us more than we can bear, but he will turn things to our good. There's a story of a pastor in Scotland some years ago. The pastor was known for being very positive, very encouraging. And one Sunday, when he came to church, the weather was particularly awful. And as he was preparing to lead worship, one of the congregants said, "I wonder what he'll be thankful for today, or if he can be." And he began his prayer this way: "We thank thee, O God. We thank thee that it's not always like this." And we can be thankful even in times of hardship that it is not always like this, that God provides blessing. We can be thankful in times of joy. Indeed, it's often more difficult in those times, isn't it? Because we get caught up in the things that we're doing. But in this passage, God gives us a view of the secure future of thanksgiving. Though the world tries hard to focus thanksgiving on us and to focus us on ourselves, we see that the Lord is the one who sustains thanksgiving. Your brothers and sisters, in this day today, focus upon, give thanks for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for you, for the complete forgiveness of your sins, that he has brought you into fellowship, that he's brought you together, that you can be gathered together to give thanks, that you're reconciled to God, and you're reconciled to one another. And to hold out hope that God can do that where there are still restrained relationships. For God is in the work of reconciling. And God is the one who can do all things. As we have heard, he upholds heaven and earth. Walk in the light of this truth this morning. Ask God to help you see that Jesus occupies the throne of the universe. Give thanks not just for the food, but for eternal life secured in Christ. Practice thanksgiving today and every day. And may God give you a blessed thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the reminder that you are upholding all things, as we've heard today, that you bring us through hardship, through difficulty. You are one who is aware of our every circumstance and of our every need. You are one who is directing all things to that future when there will be no more hunger, no more thirst, no more tears, no more separation or pain. And as we prepare for that day, Lord, may we increase in our thanksgiving as we reflect more and more on your unchanging love and kindness to us. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand as we are sent forth in thanksgiving this morning. As we stand, let me offer this prayer for us as we go forth. O Lord, hear our prayers this morning. Give us thankful hearts. What we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians, we read these words, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Amen. Let's sing together number 181 as we close.